WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. So honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. You can listen, of course, on WKAR AM 870 or 94.5 FM. We're live streaming the show on social media at facebook.com/currentsports and multiple ways you can weigh in. We've got a fun-filled show that will hopefully warm you all up, considering the fact that, hey, I thought it was spring. Thought it was spring, folks. But if you look outside, and many of you have already been out in that mess, I should say, when it comes to the snow, it's heavy stuff too, folks. I mean, cold, snowy, it's a rain mix as well. Good thing is, though, it's supposed to be 70 degrees on Sunday. 70 degrees on Sunday. A quick turnaround, right? So patience is certainly a virtue. And but what better way to warm you up here on our airwaves than talk about a sport that's played outdoors in beautiful weather, usually, right? That being golf. The Masters is underway as we speak. We'll give you an update on what the leaderboard looks like throughout the entire hour. And in just a moment, you will hear our picks on today's show. We will also be inviting our dear friend, Terry Kilday. That's right. We haven't heard from Terry in quite some time because golf season is now just getting officially underway for us here in Michigan. Terry Kilday, director of Hawk Hollow Golf Properties, will join me on the show live from Florida, sunny Florida. I'm sure he's enjoying that right now, right? Terry will preview the Masters with us. He'll talk about what makes the Masters such a storied tournament, what makes it so special to him, his favorite memory from the Masters. He'll give his sleeper picks and his top pick to go all the way and don the green jacket come Wednesday. And we'll also get his thoughts on a pretty controversial call that took place in the world of women's golf not too long ago concerning Lexi Thompson. You don't want to miss that chat. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you want to join the conversation concerning the Masters, I want to know who are your picks for the Masters. And then, of course, it is Thursday, so we love to hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday, and we'll have some NBA discussion as well as the Detroit Pistons just gave it to the Toronto Raptors last night at the Palace of Auburn Hills, just handed them the game. In that last stanza in the fourth quarter, the Pistons were up by 20 points at one point in the first half. We'll talk about the fading playoff chances of the red, white, and royal blue. And we will discuss Dennis Rodman making comments and comparisons concerning, if we get to it in time, Isaac. I know Isaac is chomping at the bit to get to this conversation. Rodman comparing LeBron and Jordan taking no days off, LeBron deciding to rest multiple times throughout the season. That and more, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with news concerning the Dr. Larry Nassar case. A lawsuit filed yesterday in federal court in Michigan is calling for the gag order in the case of Larry Nassar to be thrown out. Attorneys representing more than 80 women and girls who say Nassar sexually assaulted them are challenging the order, claiming that it violates multiple constitutional rights, including their right to free speech. Now, the challenge comes less than a week after Ingham County Circuit Judge Rosemary Aquila signed an order barring all current and potential witnesses from giving out any info not already held in a public court, as well as talking about Nassar's guilt or innocence publicly. Again, as the days pass here on our airwaves, we will keep you updated on those developments. Once seen as a surefire first-round pick, I should say, by NFL scouts and draft prognosticators, former Michigan State defensive lineman Malik McDowell now has a lot of doubters, specifically ESPN analyst Mel Kiper. In his latest mock draft, Kiper kept McDowell out of his projected first round. Kiper cited a lack of production and a possible lack of effort as reasons why his stock has somewhat dropped. Now, McDowell only notched 1.5 sacks last year. Kiper still had him going early in the second round. Meanwhile, ESPN analyst Todd McShay said, quote, McDowell is the most talented interior pass rusher in the draft, but he didn't play with the same passion and toughness this past season, which is a red flag, end quote. McShay still had McDowell going late in the first round to the New York Giants as the 23rd overall pick. Michigan men's basketball has submitted 4 requests for evaluations from the NBA Undergraduate Advisory Committee. John Beilein told M Live on Wednesday that U of M has entered paperwork for evaluations centered on players Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, Duncan Robinson, Moritz Wagner, and DJ Wilson. Now, the committee consists of NBA execs that provide potential early entries in the NBA draft with a confidential protection, or I should say projection, not protection, of the draftees' likely draft position. All right, the Masters. I absolutely love the Masters. It is one of the greatest sporting events in all of sports, right behind, for me, March Madness and the Super Bowl. The PGA's first major championship is up for grabs out in Augusta, Georgia. The Masters teed off this morning with the first group getting started at 8 a.m., after the ceremonial starters and golf legends Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player, of course, had the first tee kick things off. Notable names that have yet to tee off include Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy, and Bubba Watson. Defending champ Danny Willett is currently 2-1, and the leaderboard looks like so. Right now we have Thomas Peters, who is 4-under through 11. He's leading the pack at number 2. Ricky Fowler, 2-under through 9. Tied for 3rd. That's right, Phil Mickelson. 1-under through 6. Tied for 3rd also, Brooks Koepka. Koepka, am I saying that right, Isaac? Koepka, I've never heard of
it. I believe.
Is it Koepka, guys? Koepka?
Koepka.
Brooks Koepka, 1-under through 9. And if you look at the entire leaderboard, really, the story that I'm most intrigued about is Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson, actually, he took a fall. Took a fall prior to the Masters. And previous to today, we didn't know if Johnson was going to be healthy enough to even play in the Masters. Well, there is an update on his condition. I'm going to go on a bit of a rant on Johnson in just a second, all right? So we'll keep you updated on the Masters. But right now, again, Thomas Peters is leading the pack in round 1. All right, the weather in Chicago hasn't been kind to the White Sox and Detroit Tigers. After opening day was postponed, yesterday's game was postponed as well. Detroit has only played 1 game so far this season, 1-0. How about that? Defeating the White Sox on Tuesday, 6-3, the final. We highlighted that game on yesterday's show. Justin Verlander picked up his first win of the season, throwing into the 7th inning, giving up 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 10 Ks. The series finale between the White Sox and Tigers is still yet to be played this afternoon. That will take place a little after 2 o'clock. Matt Boyd will take the mound, squaring off against James Shields. And according to FanRag Sports, former Detroit Tigers pitcher Mike Pelfrey has signed a minor league deal with the Chicago White Sox. The Tigers released Pelfrey last week, still owing him $8 million. Pelfrey had a 4-10 record last season with a ERA of 5.07. He will be playing for the Chi Sox AAA affiliate, the Charlotte Knights. Second to last, the Detroit Pistons' late season struggles continued on Wednesday night when the Toronto Raptors came to the Palace and handed the Pistons a loss. The Pistons gave up 37 points in the fourth quarter and lost to Toronto 105-102. Now, after missing 18 games with a wrist injury, Raptors point guard Kyle Lowry returned, putting up 27 points, 10 assists. The Pistons' leading scorers were Tobias Harris and Ish Smith, who each scored 16 points. The Pistons are now on the brink of elimination from the playoffs, 3 games in back of a playoff spot with 4 games remaining. They will travel to Houston to take on the Rockets on Friday. Also want to note that I read that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who did not start in that game last night, he was late to the game due to him being a father. How about that? Yes, a baby was born in the Pope family, Caldwell-Pope family, I should say, last night. Congratulations to him. He did return in the second half and then immediately bolted after the Pistons fell to Toronto. And last but certainly not least, Russell Westbrook. He was 1 rebound short of breaking the Big O's, Oscar Robertson's record for most triple-doubles in a single season. Yeah, how about that? The Brody, as the kids are calling him nowadays, scored 45 points in the game, including the last 5 points for the Thunder, to lead them to a 103-100 victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. He had 10 assists, 9 boards on the night. Former Michigan State Spartan and current Memphis Grizzlies power forward, that's right, added his 2 cents on the MVP race, that being Zach Randolph. Randolph said, quote, "He's the MVP hands down. They can give him that award now. It's incredible," end quote. Strong words from the former Spartan. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. So much to get to, folks. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to know who you believe will win this year's Masters. Who will put on that green jacket come Sunday? Call in 517-355-WKAR. Let's start the show.
See that chair? Where Arnold Palmer sat last year. It is there in his honor, as the man who played 50 times and won 4 times was remembered and honored. His green jacket draped over the chair before the ceremonial tee shots.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming and expressing our love and affection to Mrs. Arnold Palmer. Well, good morning and welcome to the 2017 Masters. It is a wonderful, but in one respect, difficult day. For the first time in many, many decades, someone is obviously missing from the first tee here at Augusta National in the Masters. The almost unbearable sadness we all feel at the passing of Arnold Palmer is surpassed only by the love and affection for him, which will forever reside in our hearts. Arnold Palmer was more than the king, a title he justifiably deserved by virtue of his 4 Masters victories and more than 70 PGA Tour and Senior Tour wins. Arnold Palmer was my friend. He was your friend. Despite all of his fame and fortune, he always had time for all of us. A smile, an autograph, a photo, he was always giving, but it still hurts so bad that he is not here with us today. We knew this day would come. We counted our blessings over the last several years as his health was beginning to decline, but his smile and his graciousness never changed. As he would walk to this very tee for this ceremony, we would point and shout above the cheers to our kids and grandkids, "Look, look, it's Arnold Palmer." And the kids would radiate smiles because they knew they were seeing a legend. And you know what? He would always smile back. That's the Arnold Palmer we remember, we miss, and will forever love. Please join me now in a moment of silence as each of us says our own personal goodbye to this wonderful man.
Yes, that is how we start this Thursday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports, the Masters. There is simply no other sporting event like this, folks. Nothing like it. It was such an emotional morning, an emotional moment. Watching what took place before the Masters got underway, round one, as the gallery and the field gathered around the first tee to honor a man who is no longer with us, one of the greatest players to ever pick up a golf club. For many years, the face of golf, a legend, a living legend. Arnold Palmer, of course, passed away last year. And Palmer's widow, Kit, was in attendance as thousands of spectators and several PGA Tour players honored her, as we all honored her husband, as his green jacket was placed on a lawn chair. Emotional stuff, folks, and with tears in their eyes, Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus hit ceremonial tee shots to start the 81st Masters this morning at Augusta National. Hard to believe that Arnie won't be here to witness this year's Masters, but he will be tuned in above, without a doubt. First time since 1954 that Arnold Palmer is not a part of the Masters. He, of course, played in the tourney 50 straight times since then. He is a four-time Masters champion. And, of course, he passed away last year in September. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We want to start today's show by talking about the Masters. Again, I believe this to be the third biggest sporting event in my personal view. Number one being March Madness. Number two, the Super Bowl. Number three, the Masters. Again, I'm biased, so number four will be the NBA Finals. That's how my top four, that's how my Mount Rushmore of sporting events goes. And I love the Masters because of the history behind it, because of its elegance. And I love it because every once in a while we see someone out of nowhere whose name we can't even pronounce do something special at the Masters. And ideally, the Masters is really when I first fell in love with the game of golf. As a young pup sitting there watching the 97 Masters with my dad and watching a man by the name of Tiger Woods do something incredible. Actually, Tiger has published a book since then, which I need to head over and certainly pick up. Just talking about that year and what that was like for him putting on that green jacket. I am a bit sour about this year's Masters, though, because in many ways, Wednesday, the day before round one, is maybe the most special day of the weekend for many of the spectators, because Wednesday is usually the Masters par three contest. And this year is the first time in its history that we will not have a winner in the Masters par three contest because of good old Mother Nature. That's right. The par three contest was rained out yesterday. Citing inclement weather and safety concerns, the Augusta National Golf Club announced the cancellation of that traditional event. And I was a bit sour because I love seeing the possible hole-in-ones that come from that. I love seeing the spectators walk the course. But I will say, looking at some of the footage from yesterday, you know, the gallery, some of them were stubborn and said, okay, I know there's going to be no par three contest this year, but I still want to walk the course. And every year, I love how they do this. The spectators can walk the course with no one else on it, with no players on it. I mean, just imagine that, just walking Augusta National with no players on it, going to Amen Corner and just taking that in. Oh, despite the weather, I know a few fans did that. And I find the Masters so intriguing. Again, because of tradition, you know, the tradition of the Masters is really, you can't compare it to anything else. You just can't. And I was reading an interesting article last night from Golf World that detailed just how traditional, just how extreme Augusta National goes with the whole notion of tradition. I want to read a brief snippet. Bear with me here because I thought this was very well written from Golf World. Actually, you can read the article on golfdigest.com. But get this. I just want to take in the first few graphs here. It reads like this. Bring a smartphone to the Masters, and it won't take long before you're escorted off the golf course and delivered to a holding area. Expect at least an hour until your case is considered, the violation processed. Your day is done. It may be years or never until you set foot on club grounds again, though under the right circumstances and with a properly grievous attitude, it's possible you'll be back tomorrow. Of course, the metal detectors at the gates prevent almost entirely such sad episodes. They are there to save you from yourself. But say you're the father of a player and you entered alongside your son through a lightly secured zone, I should say, and it didn't occur to you that snapping a foam pick of your boy inside the ropes during a practice round wasn't okay. Well, to the holding area ye shall go. Members of the media can register their phones for use in the press center, but will have their credential revoked if they bring one into the interview room or onto the course. No exceptions, even for honest mistakes. Just ask Golf Channel's Charlie Reimer. I don't know if you saw what happened to Charlie Reimer, folks, but just Google it. Even the players are strictly instructed to keep their phones away. Quote, it's actually really nice. Brooks Koepka says, quote, you just got to make sure your watch is running right. Then he goes on to say more. The article goes on to say, I should say, quote, more importantly than how a rule is enforced or the scope of its penalty is, of course, the reason behind it, which in this case is safe to say has changed dramatically, end quote. So I won't spoil the whole article for you, but I find it so intriguing that the Masters will not even allow you to bring your smartphone on the course because they want you to be, one, in the moment and not on your smartphone taking pictures and tweeting and Snapchatting and Instagramming, but also, number two, they want to avoid any possible distraction. Just imagine someone, you know, this is the Masters. This is the tournament in golf. Just imagine, you know, Phil Mickelson having to you know, possibly put in a big birdie putt to possibly win the Masters, right? And somebody's ringer goes off. They don't want that. They want to avoid that. I love it. I love it because I feel like we are, as a society, so involved in having to be connected, you know, with social media and on our smartphones so much that we forget to live in the moment, especially when attending something as coveted as the Masters. Interesting stuff, folks. The big storyline coming into this year's Masters concerns golf's numero uno, that being Dustin Johnson, who he took a fall at his rental home down near Augusta. And I was reading the reports, and Dustin actually, he fell feet first, fell backwards, coming down the stairs, and injured his lower back near his left rib cage. And there were many doubts whether or not Dustin Johnson will be able to get up and play in this year's tourney. And I immediately, because I heard this news while on the road yesterday. I was heading to an interview with the Michigan State softball team yesterday, and I was heading to the indoor hitting facility here on campus, and I almost swerved off the road when I heard that. I mean, Dustin Johnson is such an intriguing figure to me in the golf world because he reminds me, when you look at just his on-course persona and his emotion, he reminds me so much of a man named Tiger Woods. He really does. You know, and you look at the ratings of golf today, we all know the story. We've been profiling that for quite some time now. I mean, golf's ratings post Tiger Woods are not great. The ratings are cut in half. The TV deals are cut in half. Dick's Sporting Goods decided to get out the golf game altogether because it's constantly losing money. Nike has decided it's going to stop making clubs. There's a clear ripple effect here, and golf is certainly struggling. And it's going to take certain golfers, out there who go against the grain of your traditional golfer to really pique the interest of the masses. That's why we love Tiger Woods. I mean, Tiger went against the comfortability that we were used to seeing in the world of golf. I mean, Tiger would curse on the course. Tiger would throw his clubs. Tiger would not talk to his opponent after lightly greeting that opponent on the first tee. That sort of drama, you know, he wasn't your traditional golfer, right? That sort of drama, we love tuning in for it. I mean, Tiger Woods had the body of Ed Reed. You know, he wasn't your traditional build of a golfer, right? You know, he wasn't your feel, kind of lightly heavy. You know, he looked like a golfer. He talked like a golfer. Tiger was not that kind of guy. So I look at Dustin Johnson, and man, oh, man, does Dustin Johnson intrigue me and intrigue the golf world on so many levels. I mean, this is a dude who had drug problems back in the day, actually failed 3 drug tests since 2009. He tested positive for cocaine. He's constantly popped off on, at the mouth. He shows so much emotion on the course. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. People love him. He's got a beautiful girlfriend, and even, when it talks about, you talk about drama when it comes to Dustin Johnson, he even had, quote, what was called at the time, quote, sexual indiscretion, end quote, with a PGA player's wife at one point. So much so, there was so much drama surrounded around Dustin Johnson that he actually took a leave of absence from the game entirely. We love watching drama. And Dustin Johnson, who, by the way, is a pretty good golfer combined with the drama, people want to see that. It's intriguing. So when I found out that Dustin Johnson was possibly not going to play this weekend, oh, a lot of sadness hit me, without a doubt. But thank goodness I was watching ESPN SportsCenter this morning, and Tom Rinaldi and the fellow reporters with him at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, announced that Dustin is going to give it a go today. He will tee off a little after 2 o'clock. I will be plopped in front of the TV here at WKAR while working at the same time to watch his first round because, it's intriguing now. I mean, not just the fact that Dustin Johnson is Dustin Johnson and the number one golfer in the world and is playing so good and he has all of this drama surrounded around him. But now you add in the fact that this dude fell down the stairs, has a back injury. It was reported by Tom Rinaldi that he's about 30 to 40% right now. He's at the driving range, I believe, right now, seeing if he can even take a swing. Oh, so much drama. He's going to be wearing, some ointment on that lower left part of his back to see if he can get through the round. And they were making this point known as well. It is so windy in Georgia right now, in Augusta, Georgia. So windy that this may actually help a dude with the back problem because the wind will carry the ball more. So we'll see. I'm curious to see how Dustin finishes out this first round. Who is your pick to win the Masters this year? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Such a freak injury. And, I wanted to pose the question also, what's the craziest injury anybody has ever had? Because when I heard about this is just clumsy. We all do stupid things, right? I mean, Dustin Johnson fell down the stairs. I mean, it's not like the dude is a senior citizen here. I mean, this dude is young and spry, right? He's an athlete, for goodness sake. Yet he trips and falls down the stairs. We've all had clumsy injuries. And thank goodness I haven't had any in recent years. Hold on. Knock on wood. But I will say, back growing up, man, I had some bad ones. I recall when I was in first grade and there was recess and I was reckless, dude. I would run around and I remember we were playing basketball outside and, I'm like, well, what is first grade? How old are you in first grade? You're like 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old, right, Isaac?
Yeah, yeah.
Six years old. And I remember I was playing basketball and I went full speed to run after a loose ball. And I did not see this concrete brick wall right in front of me. I stormed right into the brick wall. It like knocked me out a little bit. I fell back and everybody that was present at recess crowded around me like, oh, my gosh, Al, are you OK? and the teachers come storming. There's blood on the left side of my face trickling down. They had to call my mommy. She comes. She's like, oh, my goodness. And I had to go to the hospital, and they had to patch me up. That was pretty bad. Also, my dad had the great idea. This is even earlier. This is when I was in kindergarten. My dad had the bright idea of building a bunk bed. Cool stuff, right? I mean, when you're a kid, you got a bunk bed. I mean, it's really cool. You know, my sister would have the lower part. I would have the top part. And he built the bunk bed, but my dad did not put any safety railing on the side of the bunk bed. So I'm a crazy sleeper. I'm wild. I'm like a tiger in the Amazon when I sleep, right? And when I was sleeping, I was sleeping and I rolled over, and there was a dresser right next to the bunk bed. Again, this is the middle of the night. I'm dreaming at this point. I roll over. There's no safety barrel to prevent me from rolling off the bed. So I roll off the bed, and my chin had a deep cut from nicking the corner of the dresser. Blood everywhere. I wake up screaming. They had to rush me to the hospital and stitch up my chin, a mark that I still have to this day. So those are some of my crazy injuries. Thank goodness I haven't had any in recent times. Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKR's Current Sports. I'm curious, my man. What's the craziest injury you've ever had, dude?
So I'll go with a few. I'll go with one which was kind of wimpish. There was nothing serious about it. That's going to be my first one. That was me playing basketball probably fourth or fifth grade. And maybe fifth or sixth, actually. But anyway, so I'm playing basketball. I grab a rebound, turn around. You know, I just do a 180 in midair, just face the basket on the other side of the goal. Somebody is standing there right below me. They have glasses on. So the side of my eye grazes that intersection, the 90-degree perpendicular cross of the glasses, and the side of my eye, not my eye itself, but right beside it, gets cut, and it just starts. You have these blood droplets just falling down my face. Gosh, it looked like I was crying blood. So it was actually kind of cool. But at the same time, you know, it's cool more so in retrospect than what actually happened. I'd say the craziest one that I actually had, which was somewhat severe, though, was basketball practice my seventh grade year. We didn't have a gym or anything like that where I went. So we always went to a nearby high school, and the vice principal for our school, Mr. Hall, was our assistant coach. My dad was the head coach. We were playing, and, you know, I mean, not that I was a great rebounder, but I guess all of these stories involve rebounding. I was chasing down a rebound. It was one of those bouncers heading to the sideline. My feet get tangled up with Mr. Hall's, who's on the other team. This is a 65-year-old man, vice principal, who's also probably 250 pounds. He falls square on my hand, and my hand is just smushed underneath. You know, nothing changed, but I had bruises on the bones, could not play for about 4 weeks. So I'd say those are my two craziest. Also some bike cycling accidents, but those are just the layout of the land, if you will.
Interesting. Okay, have you ever had any broken bones? I'm curious.
I have. I had a broken toe, broken foot, something like that when I was growing up, probably 5 or 6. How about you?
Also, knock on wood, I've never had a broken bone. So, I'm lucky. I'm very, very lucky. So, all right. But, yeah, I mean, we all do. I wanted to tell those stories and also have you share yours as well, Isaac, because we all do stupid stuff. I mean, this is a PGA Tour golfer. This is an athlete. This is Dustin Johnson, for goodness sake. Just had a freak accident. Before, though, the biggest golf tournament in America. Drama. I love it. Looking forward to following Dustin Johnson. In just a moment here, we're going to hit our first break. In just a moment here, we are going to invite Terry Kilday to the show, director of Hawk Hollow Golf Properties. Terry is down in Florida. He is going to join us live on the air to talk about his picks for this year's Masters. And it's also going to really put in perspective what makes this tourney so special. That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we're taking your calls on the Masters. Who do you believe will don the green jacket come Sunday? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, we want to invite to the show our dear friend, Terry Kilday, USGA rules official, director of Hawk Hollow Golf Properties. Terry is enjoying much better weather than we are here in mid-Michigan, seeing as though it is cold, rainy, snowy. But again, hold on tight, mid-Michigan, because this weekend is supposed to be 70 degrees. So if we can just get through these next few days, and we're talking golf weather, okay? But he's already enjoying golf weather out in BEA, beautiful Florida. Terry Kilday, welcome to Current Sports. Terry, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great. Nice to hear your voice.
Without a doubt, Terry. And, you know, Terry Kilday, GA, rules official, director of Hawk Hollow Golf Properties. I want to start our convo before we dive into conversation centered on the Masters, Terry. I want to bring up an interesting moment that happened not too long ago concerning, you know where I'm going with this, Lexi Thompson. The whole situation during Sunday's final round of the A&A Inspiration, the LPGA's first major of the year, a TV viewer emailed tournament officials to bring their attention to the fact that on Saturday, Thompson had slightly misplaced her ball after marking it on the 17th hole. Now, after building a three-shot lead over the field through 12 holes on Sunday, Thompson was penalized 2 strokes for the error, plus 2 more for having signed an incorrect scorecard after Saturday's round. And So-Yeon Ryu ended up winning that championship. I'm curious, Terry, what did you make of that whole situation? And do you agree with viewers sitting at home calling in and, you know, tattletaling, so to speak, and possibly costing someone a championship? What do you make of that whole situation?
Well, Sunday was tragic. There's just no doubt. And I really do think, besides rules changes that are coming along in 2019, that are going to be just a major revamp and a movement towards a lot more common sense by the R&A and the USGA. But to answer your question, I can't answer your question without viewer call-ins, because it's no different. You're just a different form of a spectator. And if you were there at the tournament live and saw something and wandered in 3 hours later and maybe the player had already signed your scorecard again, they still would – the committee is obligated under the way the game is played today to follow through and check out and see if there's any merit to it. If anything, you know, they just – sometimes in these instances, and surely in her instance, I think they need to fail a little more in favor of the intent and the integrity of the player. You know, it's an honorable game, and really she never got any input into this. You know, just, hey, here's what it is. And I realized her round was going on. They needed to let her know something. But she was just dictated to when the rules officials came out rather than any type of discussion.
Right, and of course, Thompson went on to lose her chance at a second career major to, again, as I stated, So-Yeon Ryu in a playoff. And I saw that Phil Mickelson actually weighed in on it, and he believed that Thompson should have been given the trophy. Do you foresee possibly the PGA, you know, really looking at this and saying, you know what, you know, maybe it's not to our benefit to allow viewers to call in and look at the rules. You know, maybe we should outrule that. Do you see a change happening anytime soon when it comes to that, Terry?
I don't know if you'll see a change, because they're going to still look at evidence from any place. I do think there's got to be a more stringent time limit. Because those first three rounds, you know, it can go right up till the end of the fourth round. Mm-hmm. On the end of the tournament, once the results have been announced and the awards have been made, then there's no change unless there was outright cheating involved. So, you know, had this not surfaced until 3 hours later, it would have been a non-issue, you know, even if she was found to be, because she wasn't cheating. She just did it wrong.
All right, I want to shift the attention now to the Masters. First round underway. Before we give our listeners an update on what's taking place in round one, Terry, what makes the Masters so special in your eyes? What makes this tournament just so coveted in the golf world?
Lots of things, but I think the primary ones is, it's almost opening day, even though the season kicks off now for this year back in, mid-October. But it really is what people consider the opening day of golf in America. And, no different than opening day for baseball. It's a big deal. The second thing is it's always on the same golf course. So, someone as old as me over the course of your life, even if you haven't been there, you feel like you know every hole. And if you have been fortunate enough to be there, I remember, watching so-and-so hit that shot 20 years ago where, the Open Championship, the U.S. Open and the PGA, they rotate among, some really wonderful golf courses, but, usually don't return much more than once every 7 to 10 years, where Augusta National is the place and it's the initial major of the year for men.
So, Terry, have you been there?
Yes. My son and I made the trip. It's been almost 10 years ago now, but really, really wonderful experience.
What was that like seeing, that course in Augusta, Georgia, up close and in person? I'm pretty sure you guys walked the entire course. I mean, what was that moment like for you? And is that the only time you've been there?
We were there all four rounds that one year. I think it was 2009 when Tiger was just coming back from his Thanksgiving fiasco with his wife and family there. Mm-hmm. But it's incredible. It's everything that, every comment you ever hear anybody say, it's a golf cathedral. And if you're an addict, you're really feeding your obsession just with a chance to see it.
The course itself, I was watching some of the coverage this morning and they talked about, just the up and down hills that the course has throughout it. Also, it's a very windy day today, which is making it tougher for the field to score low, specifically when it comes to this first round, Terry. What makes the course so challenging?
Well, wind definitely is. It's the great equalizer in golf anywhere. But with those tall pines, if you get I think it's about 60-mile-an-hour wind they've got going right down there right now, and it tunnels through the pines. And, the wind, as you stand over a shot for 20 seconds, it feels like the wind changes direction three different times. Mm-hmm. And then, from there, on a dead calm day, it's the putting surfaces. You can drive and hit shots into the green, but, boy, if you miss your spot by 2 yards sometimes, what would have been a 5-footer all of a sudden is a 55-footer on greens that just TV, that's what it can't show you, is what the undulation in those greens and those huge breaks, and things like that just don't show up until you're there. But I think on a windy day, number one, any golf course is much, much tougher. But then the putting surfaces are just the big defense of Augusta National.
Terry, not too long from now, the world's number one golfer in Dustin Johnson will tee off at the Masters. Again, his injury has been well documented, taking a fall down the stairs at his rental home. And this back injury is something that is going to be a challenge, especially here in round one. How much do you think it will affect him? Because I'm hearing that he's about, as far as his mobility is concerned, he's around 30-40%, according to his trainer.
Well, it's got to affect a lot. You're an athlete. You know how it would affect you if you were just going up to play a pickup game of basketball, or for sure coming out the eagle eye and playing golf. I think you're just always waiting for that twinge. And he swings hard. He contorts his body a lot. So a guy like him with a not just a real simple motion, I think it just gets exacerbated, to a whole other degree. Having said that, I think it's really going to play to his advantage today that, the end of the day, 2 or 3 under may be leading. So, you don't have to worry about going lights out today. what he can't do is go five over. If he can stay around even with his health and have one more day for that back to start to loosen up, I think he's still in nice shape.
Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with USGA Rules official and director of Hawk Hollow Golf Properties here in Mid-Michigan, Terry Kilday. Terry, who are your favorites, and do you have a few sleeper picks for us to possibly don that green jacket come Sunday?
Well, I think I really like Ricky Fowler. Definitely Justin Rose and McIlroy. I think I would have thrown Dustin right in there, and I just don't know over 4 days. You know, it's just an unknown. He may be fine. I tell you two others, the kid that played his golf at Illinois, Thomas Peters from Belgium, and then Ross Fisher from England. I think either of those two could be your somewhat dark horses that are not Americans.
Okay, I'm writing those down as we speak, Terry.
Don't put any money on it, though.
No, I won't do that, but I got them on my notepad, I tell you that. All right, Terry, before we get you out of here, I was a bit salty yesterday because the weather, it rained out completely. The par 3 competition on Wednesday, which is one of my favorite things to watch on television at the Masters. How big of a deal is it? Because this is the first time this has ever happened to that competition in the Masters history. What makes that day so coveted?
Well, I think, you know, the players, if they opt to do it, if they're not going to be too serious about it, can have their kids out there with them, you know, pick the putter out of their hand and do it. It's the last little bit of relaxation before you go into 4 days of just heavy breathing. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just such a cool golf course, you know. Nine holes of a par three that, you know, rival anything in the world, you know, as far as the green setup and things they do. You've seen the hole-in-ones there where the ball, after it hits, might travel 60 feet and just all of a sudden lock in on a hole. So you know those greens are even more severe than the ones out on the golf course.
Very true. Terry, tell us about the plans for this year's season at your properties, because the good weather is right around the corner, despite what looking outside may do to our emotions right now.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to getting back home. We leave Monday and get up there, and like you said, it's probably going to be 70 this weekend and stuff. Mm-hmm. Brand new golf cars at both courses. Going to have GPS equipped and stuff, so your listeners can come out and. They won't have to pull the rangefinder out if they don't want to. We've got them all set up.
Wow.
And we are the host course this year. Obviously, we had the Michigan Amateur last year. This year, Eagle Eye is going to be the host course for the Michigan Junior Amateur, which this takes players 17 or younger that have not played college golf are in it. And you'll get a very, very good feel for that. And other than that, we're just we're ramping up the course conditions already for the weather that, you know, we had early and then kind of lost and have back. Course conditions are just great, and we've got special rates right now. So it's a great time for your listeners to head out our way.
I know our listeners want to know, will you guys be open this weekend?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Okay, and also the Michigan Junior Amateur, when is that going to take place, Terry?
Monday, July 31st, and it concludes Wednesday afternoon, which I believe would make it the 2nd.
Okay. We will certainly be covering that. Well, I'll tell you what, Terry, soak up the sun rays down in beautiful Florida. It was a pleasure having you on today's show. You take care, all right? I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Al. Bye-bye.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's Current Sports by keeping you updated, of course, on the Masters. We have an eventful Throwback Thursday for you. And I also want to note this whole Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan, LeBron James comparison. We'll briefly get to that as well if we can fit it in. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have less than 10 minutes left in the show. A quick update on the Masters. Right now, Kevin Chappell leads the field through 17. He has one more hole left to play. Right behind him, you have Andy Sullivan as well as Matthew Fitzpatrick. So that's how your top three look, at least. And again, there's still a lot of golf left to play, a lot of golfers that will be teeing off as the afternoon proceeds. And again, I'm looking forward to seeing Dustin Johnson out on the course. You know, I had this pick written down yesterday, and I'm going with Ricky Fowler to win this whole thing. He's who I wrote down on my notepad yesterday as I prepped for today's conversation. Ricky is not that far back from the field right now. He is through 13, and he's listed in the top. Oh, goodness. Well, it looks as though he's kind of fading, but he's in the mix. He's at least in the top 10 right now when looking at the leaderboard. Isaac, a quick pick. I know you're not a big diehard golf guy. I know that. But if you had to throw out a name that you expect to have a pretty solid four rounds, who would it be?
No, I follow along, though. And, you know, I think a lot of the young'uns for me this year, the same luster isn't necessarily around them. So my pick, actually, go with old reliable Phil Mickelson. And looks like he's doing all right. He's also faded a little bit down the stretch. Started off with a nice eagle and then followed it up with a birdie. But he's had three bogeys since. So to my knowledge, he's just at par right now.
Yeah, I watched the beginning of his round, and he started off with an eagle. I mean, I said, oh, my goodness, you got to be kidding me. That was the first roar that we heard at Augusta National. So Phil, man, he just keeps on keeping on. He's got a timeless game, I guess you can say. All right, well, let's get to Throwback Thursday, where each and every Thursday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we hop into our current sports time machine and take a look exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. Here we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes.
So what exactly took place on this particular date in sports history? Today is April 6th. And on this day back in 1896, rolling it all the way back, the first modern Olympic Games began in Athens, Greece. How historic is that? That's a Throwback Thursday for you right there. All right. Keeping it pushing now. We move to 1970. Bobby Orr of the Boston Bruins became the first defenseman to win the National Hockey League scoring title.
Orr fights to keep it in, does, has it in the corner to Sanderson. Back in front to Orr, shot, scores! Bobby Orr from Sanderson! And what could be better than that as they beat St. Louis 4-3?
That is a great call. I know Jacob Herbert is behind the glass. I believe Jacob cut that bite, and he was talking to me before the show. Who made that call?
That one, I was actually talking about the one you'll get to in a little bit with the Lemieux call.
So that's not, well, that's a really good call. Whoever was, I mean, that dude lost his mind. Oh, my gosh. Well, again, that's one of the most famous Stanley Cup goals by Bobby Orr himself back in 1970. So, okay, I jumped the gun there. I just kind of stole my own thunder, I guess you can say, here on Throwback Thursday. All right, keeping it pushing. In 1973, on this day, U.S. President Nixon threw out the first pitch of the season at a California Angels game. It was the first time that a U.S. president had performed the ceremonial activity in a city other than Washington, D.C. I know President Trump has decided not to throw, well, it's passed now, but he decided not to throw out the first pitch. He's just going against tradition left and right, Isaac.
In fairness to him, he does have a good arm. Washington Post did a little study, a rewind of 10 years. And Trump played baseball, I believe, in high school. So he's actually got a decent pitch to him.
Yeah, he also plays a lot of golf.
Yes, he does.
All right. 1987, Sugar Ray Leonard took the middleweight title from Marvin Hagler.
And Judge Dane Barretti scores 115-113 by the winner, by a split decision, and new middleweight champion of the world, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray, one of the greatest boxers of all time. Again, back in 1987, Sugar Ray took the middleweight title from Marvin Hagler. There's a movie out, fairly recent, that actually stars the singer, the famous R&B singer, R&B star Usher, playing Sugar Ray Leonard. I don't know if you see. Have you seen that movie yet?
I have not. Sounds good, but I'm usually not a fan of musical artists as actors. I'll be honest.
I'm not either. I hate it, but Usher did a good job playing Sugar Ray. It's called Hands of Stone. Hands of Stone. Pretty good movie. All right. In 1997, Mario Lemieux of the Pittsburgh Penguins announced that he would retire from the National Hockey League following the playoffs of the current season.
Back to the point, Desjardins. Mario blocked it. Lemieux heading up ice. Here he comes.
How about that? Okay, now, Jacob, who made that call?
That was Gary Thorne.
Gary Thorne, who is that?
One of my personal favorite announcers. He used to do hockey back when ESPN showed hockey. He was the NHL guy. He now does play-by-play for the Baltimore Orioles, so he's still in the business. But just all of his calls are just amazing. I love listening to him.
That's a pretty good one. I must say, though, I my favorite play-by-play guy is Gus Johnson. So you can see where I'm going with this. I love a lot of emotion. And Gus is great, so I may have to still go with that first call, but that's a pretty good one, Jacob. All right, that wraps up Throwback Thursday. Isaac, we got 30 seconds left. I'm going
to
make
sure. We're not getting to this.
I'm going to table it for tomorrow, but just one word to describe the whole Rodman, LeBron, and MJ story.
Outrageous.
All right. We're not going to start it right now.
Ludicrous, absurd, stupid. Okay. It's just, oh my gosh, Al, for you to side with Rodman. Whatever.
I do side with Dennis Rodman here, and you'll find out why. Tune in tomorrow, Friday's Current Sports. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in. Thanks so much to Terry Kilday. Same time, same place, tomorrow at 1 p.m. on WKAR AM 870. Be easy, people.